We are back, ladies and gentlemen. The grind carries on, with or without us, and last week was without us, you know. We're back, though, buddy. We are back. We're here to really start talking about and getting into the grind. We've got some unfortunate things that have happened to our teams, a lot of our different teams, but in particular this one we're dealing with, you know, like many people out there, some injuries and some, you know, also poor play, frankly. So, Eric, how are you feeling about things going into week five? The Cardiac Kids, I think, is a team name that we've earned after last week, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we were projected to win last week, kind of just looking back on it. Obviously, Lamar getting hurt is the one that hurt us as far as winning it. And that cost us Bateman, and A.J. Brown is fucking dog shit, and Chase Brown's dog shit. Yeah, so kind of sucks.
Yep, it does. But, you know, hey, listen, no point in crying over spilled milk. A lot of people do it, sometimes me, but for the sake of the show, you know, we're just going to go into get into how we're going to try to get through this in the grind. Listen, well, Michael Carter is not that, as he's on the other side for syndrome for us. But let's talk about our lineup first. Let's worry about, you know, control what we can control first, and then we'll go from there. It's funny, I was getting ready to hit you up before Thursday because we had Stafford going, and as soon as I opened the roster, I reminded myself that there's nothing to discuss. Stafford's an auto start because of the situation with Lamar. And Flacco also, unfortunately, you know, getting benched for our team. So
yeah, and we weren't playing Cooper Rush over Matt Stafford, so there was really no debate. And it worked out for us.
No, it did. And listen, one thing that happens is, you know, the hoodie mentality. You tell people to step up, it's their time, and Stafford shined. Man, that was a really great Thursday night football game. A lot of times Thursday night games don't end up being, you know, they're put you to bed, right?
Yeah.
This was a great game, and I still cannot believe the Rams lost that game, frankly. But
right.
Here we are, 31.6 out of him. I think the rest of the lineup we'll get to, you know, the lack of depth that we feel like we have at the moment. But let's get through this. We got Cook and Kenneth Walker, I think, given what we have, easy starts. Honestly, yeah. I feel like our receiver spots are all pretty much auto starts too, with A.J. Brown, T. Higgins, and even Rashid Shaheed, I feel like is pretty auto start right now with our team is where it is. Chase Brown, just by default, auto start. I think the next three here, right, flex spots, until further notice, are going to be kind of, you know, hey, we got to talk through these. So let's start with who we have in the lineup first. Bashaul Tuten, Shoddy B, and Sean Tucker. And then let's go through our options. And first of all, let's see, how are you feeling about each one of these guys right now at the moment?
They're all we got. And they're all we need. So we're throwing them in there. I mean, have anybody else.
I mean, listen, Ollie Gordon maybe
is
a consideration.
We literally have three other options that we could put in here, so...
Yep. We have, I was going to say, Ollie Gordon is honestly on our bench. The only person that even I would debate putting in at the moment. Right. And honestly, where I'm at, man, is I'd rather play the guys in the lineup at the moment than Ollie Gordon. So, when we got Jacobs on bye, Golden on bye, you know, it is what it is. Even John is on bye, and we don't have Rashi back. So, we are very close to that return, however, though.
Yeah, I mean, we have a couple guys on the taxi, but I don't think any of them are worth starting over who we have in there now.
No, I mean, like Elijah Royal obviously would be the best one, but to me, at the point where we're at with him, it's trending upwards, right? But I'm still of the mindset we keep him on the taxi squad, and I want to kind of see the target share and the volume for his snap share increase. I'm happy, right? But I'm not like anywhere near putting him in a lineup yet.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think right now, Giddens feels more like a lotto ticket than an every week player at the moment, right? Like if something happens to Taylor, great. Otherwise, we're leaving him there. So our team at the moment, I think, is pretty easy to start. And honestly, when you think about that too, the conversation of Chig also doesn't have to happen because John was on a bye. So pretty simply this week, sometimes you don't need to make it any more complicated than it is. It's simple.
Yeah, I put in a waiver claim for somebody because we have a free open spot. But even if we get that player, I don't think we would play him this week. So,
no, I'm with you. I'm 100% with you. I think we got our lineup pretty locked in. Ollie Gordon is the only person I would give any consideration to. Do you feel like is there any warrant to putting him in? I feel like he's kind of touchdown dependent, though, frankly.
Yeah, he's kind of touchdown dependent, and he doesn't catch passes, so that doesn't give us like any PPR upside. So we'd have to get a touchdown. I like Tucker a little bit better than him. They're kind of the same thing, but I think Tucker's got some more, you know, explosiveness to him and all that. And I'm kind of interested, like, they talked up Sean Tucker that, oh, hey, we need to start getting him the ball more every game, and he has one fucking carry on the air. So
yeah,
hopefully this gets him a little bit going here. You know, he's fresh, hasn't played. So, you know, hopefully it gets him going here a little bit. I'm excited to see him.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is where coach speak is so dangerous too, because you like to talk highly of everybody, right? But then you see what the realities are. I will say, though, if you have Sean Tucker, not that you have to play him this week, but this is kind of the opportunity that you've been waiting for to see if there's any merit to what they're talking about, right? So,
yeah.
For us, he's in the lineup, man. I'm with you. Tucker, to me, is pretty locked, given the situation. It was going to be Shoddy B or Bashaw that we talk about, but I'm with you. I think we leave those guys in. When we look at our matchup this week, with our good start, I think that's honestly the start that we had, I think, boosted us in the projection, because I think going into the Thursday night game, we were basically projected for the exact same amount. So Stafford got us off to a hot start.
Projected for 17, he got 31. So
there you go.
Pretty solid, yeah.
Yeah. When we look at our matchup, so we've talked about who our starters are. We are across on the other side. We're looking at Jalen Hurts at the quarterback position. Michael Carter's in the lineup, which, I mean, listen, if you have him, he obviously should be in your lineup too. Jordan Mason, Tet McMillan, Chris Olave, Josh Downs, Zach Ertz, Evan Ingram, Darren Waller coming off an unbelievable game, Keon Coleman, A.O. Maynard, and Ward. What I will say is this team, I feel like this team, as far as like when I'm looking at them on the other side, I don't really fear this team. It feels like a lot of the players, you kind of are dealing with bad beats and bad production, like with what you were expecting. At the same time, though, any given Sunday, man, all these guys are getting enough work that you could see a handful of these guys, you know, kind of go off.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think they're all solid players. Like, they're, you know, most of these guys should get you close to 10 points.
Right.
And that's all you need sometimes. Like, we have a couple of guys, like, all of our flexes are projected for fucking six. So
yeah, 100%.
We need our guys to play above their projections, and basically we needed Dak and Stafford to carry us this week, and Stafford did his part. Now we need Dak to do his part, and we need AJ Brown to not get a fucking like two.
No, for sure. AJ Brown and T. Higgins, honestly though, realistically, they have been killing us, because when you look at your team, you look at your projections, you're thinking, all right, the name cachet is there. Right, you've seen the production over their years of playing, and they're like weekly disappointments, fucking Eric. I mean, like, realistically, like, look at this. I mean, first of all, you have this. This is what the headline is right here from Rotoballer, and I kind of feel there's not a teams are going to be pretty shallow, or you're in small leagues if you're really sitting T. Higgins in a this situation. But right, he's risky. He's a risky fucking play. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you look at this. He's at 6.5 or less. So those low projections you're talking about, right? He, 3 of our 4 weeks, he's been giving us that. And then you look at A.J. Brown is no different. It's the same picture, just Hurts, you know, a touch more.
Opponent has Hurts too, so I like
at least having that.
If Hurts sucks, A.J. Brown's probably going to suck. So
if Hurts – now, here's the thing. What we hope is that A.J. Brown doesn't suck, because one thing about Hurts is he normally gets his – some way, and we hope that it's at least in conjunction with AJ Brown. Because what's funny, when you look at Jalen Hurts' stats line, I mean, look at those passing numbers, buddy. You talk about ungodly. Pimp, yeah, he's quarterback 15 or 14 or better in 3 weeks with 150, 101, and 130 fucking passing yards. I mean, it is just insane when you look at that.
Yeah, yep, absolutely.
So, that to your point was going to be obviously the big one to watch in our matchup is going to be Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown, two of both of our best players going there. Also, I think he does have somebody. Yeah, he's got Ingram going in that game as well. So that's going to be one of the big ones to watch for us in this matchup. And obviously, listen, it has yet to really detonate, but I wouldn't be doing what I think we need to talk about, which is if AO Maynard and Cam Ward detonate, which really hasn't come to fruition yet outside of touchdowns. If this connection does come together, that would be, you know, that would absolutely kill us, given that Cam Ward has been a, you know, back end quarterback two or quarterback three for 4 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I think the Sunday night game and the Monday night game is what's going to hopefully determine this for us. If James Cook can have a big Sunday night and then Bashaw Tutin can, you know, at least get us 10, 12, 15 points on Monday night, I think we should be all right.
Yep, I'm with you. Well, and that was what I was going to actually say is I like having the what I would say is when I have a player going and the ability to, like, you feel like control your own destiny, meaning my guy can put us over the top. I will say, though, with it being Tutin, I'm kind of praying that we don't need anything from the kid. You know, we go out and see what he does without needing him to score, because if I'm not mistaken, he's the final guy, right, in the whole matchup?
Yes.
So it will all come down to rooting for Tutin, as so many people have coined over the offseason, rooting for Tutin. So that's really it for our matchup, honestly, when I'm looking at it. When I look at his team, too, while, like I said, a lot of solid players, no one that really over the top scares you, I don't really see him putting in or switching up his lineup, frankly.
No, I mean, there's really nobody to put in other than...
I mean, if you could play Shepard and McNichols, but not over what he has, right? I don't think.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone I'm sitting those guys for.
Yeah, no, he's got his best lineup in my opinion.
Yep. So this is
this one's easy just because so many injuries and the bye weeks, and I don't know about you, but this week was really difficult to do lineups and waivers and all that. Like,
yeah,
I'm honestly like burned out from just this week alone.
No, it was, I was going to say, because when you think about this week, I think if you have a bunch of teams or even if you have a few, the lineup decisions for our team was extremely easy because of how little we had left on the bench. But across my leagues, Eric, all my starting, like, lineup leagues, right, has been, like, you know, I'm picking between three people that are kind of a coin flip, but same thing, right? Flex options. I'm looking at the waiver wire, and I'll tell you the truth. I got beat on most of the players that I was trying to bid on this week pretty good, so.
Yeah, same. I've been kind of, I don't want to say conservative on the waiver wire, but, like, I'm not spending $100, $200 on fucking Michael Carter. Like,
nope.
You know, go ahead and do it, boys. Go ahead.
No, listen, I think what I will say is that similar to draft capital, for example, I was doing when I was running the BDGE live stream, which I normally do on Saturdays, but I did this week on Fridays. On Friday, anytime there's an international game, Nick's going to start doing the start sit questions on Saturday. Instead of the Sunday morning, because it's so early. And then I do the last one on Friday. So now every lineup and team that I was looking at, they'd all move their 26 first. Every single one of them. I'm like, damn, you guys really don't like these picks, huh? And I'm finding the same thing to be true with the waiver wire, but almost to a higher degree. Basically, like, people feel most often there's not that much on the waiver wire. You know, no one sure-fired starters even come available that often. So when a guy like Carter does, you basically see people that have any fab just blow the entire fucking thing. A couple of my leagues, he went for legitimately now, when you're talking about 100, like he went for 100 in two different leagues I'm in when that was the entire budget, right? So it's fucking, that's it. Every penny gone for Carter. Yep.
Yeah, it's I've said it before, like, our leagues are getting smarter. Like, the players that are available, they're just not there anymore. Like,
mm-hmm.
So it's a lot tougher, and I get it. Like, it makes everything more challenging and stuff. So I kind of like the shallower leagues a little bit better, because at least there's the decisions to make on your who to drop and who to keep are a lot harder. And if you need to pick up somebody's probably out there where you can, you know, pick up somebody. So it's not like I'm searching for, oh my God, I'm going to pick up Ryan Flournoy because Kevontae right. Turpin and CeeDee Lamb are out, and I'm just praying he gets two catches for 23 yards.
Yeah, and probably going right back to the wire shortly after, you know.
Exactly, like, after the game. Thanks for your service.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I think better days are going to continue to come on the waiver wire, and the reason I say that is, like, this year, it started really slow, in my opinion, with the injuries, and then we got really bombarded over this last week, it feels. And I just think the reality of the attrition in the game, the way they don't practice as much early on in the year, I think all these things contribute to just it being a fucking shit show, a bloodbath, really, out there. So I think, honestly, to me, I've been trying to be more diligent about not just missing weeks on the waiver wire, but still also keeping and having the hammer at the end, because, you know,
yeah,
there's quarterback opportunities, right, in super flex sometimes, even if I don't need them, just blocking anyone that I'm playing against from having them. Spot starts that maybe aren't, you know, as clear as Michael Carter, but you have more money than the people, so I would love to have it now, but I'm also perfectly fine waiting. And listen, we'll play, you know, Sean Tucker this week, we'll be all right.
Yep.
We'll go through the matchups here real quick, but for us this week on the grind, it wasn't a lot to get through and discuss. We got Gritty, Gimme Locks, at 1-7. I think, honestly, when we look at his matchups and where he's at with his team, I think, you know, we can kind of say it's becoming pretty clear that we're just penciling in a win for the other side, which is this week, Castle Black, as opposed to going through all this. He's already got 29 from Kyren, projected to win by 50. So we'll save your time, and honestly, that shouldn't really be doing a disservice to Gimme Locks because he's going for the number one pick. Chill Will is at 3-5, and Rippin is also at 3-5. This is the 10-11 matchup. Someone's got to win this one, despite Zamir White currently being in a fucking lineup. I mean, that's just you talk about fucking injuries coming, buddy. That's you're starting. He's taking Eric's philosophy. We're gonna start the whole Las Vegas backfield and take all their points, except for Dylan Labbe is also getting some work there.
I mean, it's also a little his fault where he didn't even have any running backs really on his roster. Like Aaron Jones and Bucky Irving are out, and he only had two other guys. So, you know, it's kind of
roster construction.
Roster construction. Yep.
So we got Stroud, Genty, Zamir White, Smitty, Pittman, Judy, Warren, Kupp, Franklin, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Kayshon Boutte, and Jackson Dart in the Superflex. On the other end, Superflex is Jerome Ford. We have Ty Johnson, Wandale Robinson, Hunter Henry, and Njoku Kincaid. Addison is back. Pickens, he had a I'll tell you what's crazy. Can I tell you what's crazy about Puka? Because it felt like this game, there was not even – it felt like this game could have been so much bigger for Puka, and he still gives you 24. Like, right now, his floor I know it doesn't – I wouldn't say it's actually truly a floor game, but this felt like a floor game, honestly, for him at the moment. And you're telling me his 25-point floor, I mean, this is a fucking absolute demon in Puka. Yeah. We got Ramondre, A-Chain, and Herbert to finish out the lineups. With the Puka 24-point performance, we have a slight projection edge to Rippin at 166 versus 157. So we then get to the next game. Shit Talking Metro is at – you know, similar to us at the 4-4 mark. So is Zach Willard, 4-4. They're at 5-7, respectively. But Shit Talking Metro is projected to win by 30 here. We got Daniels back in the lineup for the kid. We got Taylor, Kamara, and Jigba. We got Igbuka, Flowers, Goddard, Woody Marks in the lineup. And he should be. If you have Woody Marks anywhere, there's no way you're not playing the kid. He looked great last week. We got Kroski, Merritt, Tolbert, Tonjes. Which, by the way, Tonjes, what a fucking play. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What a fucking play. 11 targets. Absolutely insane. To only still have 41 yards, but a pretty good game for him. Tua, and then on the flip side, we have Mahomes, Pacheco, Monty, Charbonnet, Derrick Henry, Dawson Knox, Xavier Worthy, Marvin Harrison Jr. We got Hollywood. Nick Chubb is in the lineup still. We got Pollard and Mayfield for Willard. So far, I mean, I will say this. A lot of these matchups look really close, man, outside of the one to start with here. We've got at 5-3 and 4-4. So 4-4 is Hillbillies, and Tim H is at 5-3. His roster right now, we got Kyler, Kendre, Cam Scadabo, Chase, Nico, Slayton in at the wide receiver three. Trey McBride. Then we got Godwin, Strange, Diggs, and then Washington for Miami. Those are the four flexes. Jared Goff in the super flex. On the flip side, we're looking at Drake May in the super flex. The four flexes go Mason Taylor, Theo Johnson, RJ Harvey, and Quinshon Judkins. Tight end spot is Jake Ferguson. Three wide receivers of Waddle, Shakir, and Josh Palmer. And then we have Trevion and Hampton as the RB1 and 2 with quarterback Josh Allen. This is actually leaning slightly at the moment to Tim H's way. So,
yeah, this is going to be a really good matchup.
Dude, this really fucking is. I mean, what's crazy too is I see Kendre in there and you're thinking, man, like, you know it's bye weeks or, you know, you're just in a tough spot when you got to fucking throw Kendre in there. I know it's the Giants, yeah. But man, really good teams though for both sides here.
Yeah, the final Kendre had a good week last week too.
He did. And I just saw, I mean, I was just looking at, I've seen a lot of this stuff starting to surface a little more, but there's a lot more of a drumbeat that Kamara's on the block and they anticipate willing and listening to offers. So that would end up being interesting.
I did a sneaky pickup of Kendre in a home league today for that reason.
Exactly. Yep. So could be some things coming his way. We got Geno. Last matchup here. This is even better, right? We got the 1 and 2 teams in the league facing off here. CMF Frank is number 2 at 5 and 3. And Brad 304009 in the one spot. They both have a player already in the book. So McCaffrey has played for CM Frank and Adams has played for Brad. So for Brad's team, he's projected right now to lose a close one by 7. We have Geno Smith, Barkley, Gibbs, Adams has already played, Isaiah Bond, we've got Christian Kirk, then we've got Tommy Tremble, currently Mayer, who's listed as out in the lineup, so I imagine he flips someone in there for him, Laporta, Sutton, Jacoby Myers, and Browning, rounding out his roster here. On the flip side, we got Spencer Rattler, so we got the super face-off of shit quarterbacks in the super flex spot here.
Right.
We got Mark Andrews, Quentin Johnson, Devin Singletary, Kate Otten, Travis Kelce, Jettas, Garrett Wilson, and Deebo Samuel. The running back spot left is to Rodriguez from Washington, and then we also have Justin Fields in at the quarterback spot. So, listen, if you look at the bench here, you obviously see that, you know, injuries and bye weeks are piling up for these teams here, and these are the best two records in the league. So, Eric, we are not alone, you know? We are not alone, buddy.
No, man. Was that like that for you this week, too? Like, the whole,
Yeah, absolutely.
It just...
Listen, I think sometimes you have that feeling like... I think this honestly happens. I will tell you, I become a little more prepped and aware of it as it's taken place over the years. Where week 5 is, to me, a lot of times... I think timing-wise, we got hit a little harder because of all the injuries. This last week in particular was a... gashing of injuries, right? Tons of them. Yeah. But when the bye weeks happen and the injuries are starting to pile up, you just often you kind of feel that, like, that fucked up feeling, like, damn, so many of my teams are really limping. So I think the reality is we are not in a flexible position right now, right? I think our team is still one of the better in the leagues, so I'm not worried about it, but sometimes having your flexibility where you do have your pick, If it doesn't go completely through your way, is nice. You know, I have a couple teams, Eric, that I think when I look at them, I was anticipating probably, I don't want to say walking into a bye, but very good chance I have a bye, where right now I'm teetering on the playoffs. So it's, I guess, I'm going to start calling week 5 is wake up season. It's time for everybody to fucking wake up, and reality hits you in the face a lot of times, dude. It sucks.
Yeah, it definitely did this week, and you probably are going to end up starting players you didn't want to ever start. They just have to go in your lineup because there is nobody else. So I had a couple of those.
Yeah,
I got just kind of looking at my rosters and stuff, and going all through that, and it's funny too, like you know throwing out some trades today and like. And these people that are only starting one quarterback, and I'm offering up a quarterback that's going to start tomorrow to go in their spot for just a fourth round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Oh no, I don't want to do that.
Like, yeah. Listen, I will tell you too, you're hitting on something. To me anyway, it's funny because this is a week where normally I would end up trading a lot. I've seen a lot of trade activity across my leagues.
Same, yeah.
I will tell you, man, I haven't got a single one done this week. So sometimes, for whatever reason, it be like that, man. And
I got a couple done, but...
Did you?
Yeah.
That's good. I will tell you this, though. I feel like this is... Sean Tucker is honestly like a poster child of how I feel about this week. Like, Sean Tucker's moment, right, is this week. He's literally not been getting touches. And listen, the Bucks need him and we need him. He's going in our lineup too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's been one... It's like you got an injury every day. Like, today it's like... Brock Bowers, he's expected to play, and now he's not going to play. And then yesterday was Chuba Hubbard, and, now he's not going to play. And then, the neighbor stuff and the Tyreek Hill stuff. And
Neighbors gutted me, frankly. He gutted that was my guy. Yeah. I put him as wide receiver one in Dynasty. I've been talking about him all offseason. That's probably inherently how it ends up bad for you. But I had him in a lot of teams. In best ball, I'm a lot more willing to pivot off of him because of the way roster construction works. Lineup, there's a few places I want to move them, but I'm probably going to end up holding them. It's funny you talked about the Bowers thing, right? Because, like, you got Michael Mayer, right? And you're like, fuck, the only time you're ever going to want to play him is when Bowers is out. And then it's like, fuck.
He's also been on, like, a four-week concussion.
It's insane, dude. He literally, to your point, he got hurt in the early part of week three, right? So, you're thinking...
No, he got hurt in week one.
With a concussion?
And he's been out for 4 weeks.
Mayer?
Yeah.
Really? They got him playing right here in week two.
Okay, maybe it was week two then, but okay. I know he's missed a couple weeks in a row.
Yeah, well, he basically didn't play all of week three, and he didn't play all last week. So I guess my point was basically that it seemed like this week you would think he's going to be a lock. I don't know if that's just an isolated incident or if, like... I just hope that with all the concussions and stuff that you don't start seeing, obviously it's player safety is always first and you want them to be doing well, but
right.
These concussions sometimes have been lingering for players where you kind of already know, at least I do, or the way I think about it is, hey, listen, you should expect to miss at least next week with a concussion, right? But man, some of these are piling up into multi-week, and that's really troublesome and hard to do when you're already dealing with injuries everywhere else.
They
should
just make the guardian caps mandatory.
I know we won't like it visually, but listen, I'll take that over fucking people's, brains getting crushed.
If it's going to help, and that's the reason that they invented them and made them, like, if they help, then why aren't they mandatory? I agree with you. I think they kind of look dumb. Like, we've seen all the Romeo Doubs memes and stuff, but, right. I'd rather have them healthy and on the field instead of missing a fucking fantasy game for me every week.
I agree. I would not. No one likes change, really, in general, right? I wouldn't like how it looks, but I would definitely prefer that than, a lot of my guys missing time. Actually, it's funny. I'm thinking back to multi-week. There's a lot of people that had last year too, multi-week injuries, missing time with the concussion. Neighbors, as a matter of fact, was one. He had that unbelievable start, and then the game versus the Cowboys, got the concussion, missed the next 2 weeks. So.
Chris Olave missed like half the year.
And that's the other thing about it. When you start seeing like an Olave.
And he don't wear one.
Well, imagine him not wearing one. I think is kind of crazy given the fact that he's a guy with a long list of concussions, right? Like I remember A-Chain was wearing one last year and he eventually ditched it, which again, it's, I don't know why these guys do that, but.
I remember Brandon.
Say that again.
With Brandon Cooks, you remember when he had like 17 concussions in a row.
Oh yeah, dude.
And he hasn't had one since. Like everyone thought he was completely dead.
Yeah, thought his career was over. Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, I will say that it does seem like for the NFL standpoint that the awareness has and some of the rules and the helmet changes have helped. But you would think for an organization that's just strictly all about money and keeping these guys on the field that they would make it become mandatory. We're probably not that far from it actually being the case at some point down the road. But listen, it's that's your quick little rant session, frankly, right? We're not even midway through the year. That's the other thing. It's week five and we're at rant sessions.
Yeah.
It's like the old saying, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth,
pretty much. I took one right in the jaw this week, that's for sure.
Fuck yeah. So, hey, listen. It's our turn to punch back, even though we have the roster that we do in there. I still feel like we have a good chance to win. You know, it's definitely a coin flip, probably, but I think we have a pretty good chance to win. Puncher's chance, if you will. And, you know, this is, I think, where Dynasty managers got to show who they are and what they're made of, man. You know, you got your backs against the wall, and it ain't going to always be fun, but you got to find a way to get through it. And, you know, I think we'll see here probably for us in the next couple weeks as a couple more of these teams start probably having to bow out. Hopefully it's not ours, but we start trying to make some trades and pick up some players and pick up guys off the wire for spot starts. So that's really all I got, though, man. Anything else you want to touch on?
No, I think we hit it up pretty good. So tomorrow's the start sit show, so come join us at 12 Eastern for that.
Definitely.
That's always a fun time. And then, if you want to see the video version of this, patreon.com/SouthHarmon. Come sign up.
Absolutely, man. Make sure you check out the Patreon. There's a ton of great stuff going on there. Definitely make sure to check out. And if you're hearing this in the morning or even here late at night, go ahead, set the alarm, or just, you know, not necessarily for waking up. Some of you probably do need to just get your ass out of bed by the time the Start Sit show happens, but go ahead and make your way into that. It's kind of the way I always, I'm doing a bunch of rankings and different stuff here at the computer, but it's always how I know football's getting ready to start. I'm tapping into the Start Sit show, so make sure you're tapping into that on the South Harmon Fantasy Football YouTube channel, the redraft one. Make sure you check out also all the other things we got going on. We got the Vibes channel on Fridays and Tuesdays that are definitely rocking a lot of content. And if you're already listening to this on our podcast feed, we continue to have more of them. Mike is actually going to start doing a new one every week, talking about warp buys and warp sells based on what the warp is showing him in a generic league. So make sure you tap into all that. Other than that, we will see you back here, same time, same place, next Saturday night, Sunday morning for the grind. Peace.
See ya.